Hi, I'm Bill Arnold. Thanks for listening to the podcast. And a warm welcome to the show. Awfully glad you joined me today. Bill Arnold here. We've got a terrific show today. I'm sitting in studio with my emotional support coffee, which is always a helpful thing in the mid-afternoon. Sometimes you just need a little perk, a little pickup. And despite the staggering humidity and heat outside, I still love a nice steaming cup of coffee. So I hope you're having a good day, and I'm so glad you joined me. We're going to have a couple of great guests this hour. Bob Tarnicky runs Pregnancy Options Center in Fairmont, Minnesota. We're going to chat with him in just a minute. So that is going to be what we're going to talk about the first 30 minutes. And then we're going to also talk in the second half hour with who, Rebecca? Who do we have coming up in the second half hour?
We have Pastor Shannon O'Dell
Church. That's right. And he got a call to go start a church in Bergman, Arkansas. And he said, yes, Lord, I will go. It's a town of 400 people. And now, believe it or not, in his services, among, what, three campuses, a couple that are online, he's got about 2,000 people that attend. How about that for a cool story? You're going to enjoy Shannon O'Dell a lot. I think that's an Irish name. It might be. Shannon O'Dell. We'll find out in a minute. All right, we'll take a little break, and then I'll be back in just a minute.
Our Faith Radio prayer team focus this week is on marriage. We're asking God to strengthen relationships, bring restoration to those who are struggling, and through the process of forgiveness, to bring about renewal in couples all across our communities. The prayer team is made up of hundreds of friends of Faith Radio who receive a weekly prayer prompt by email with a scripture verse to encourage their faith. It's a powerful way to influence your home and neighborhood, and we'd love to have you join us. Sign up today at myfaithradio.com/prayer.
It's been said that the only thing that is constant is change. When there are programming changes here at Faith Radio, we want you to know. You can easily stay informed through our ministry updates page at myfaithradio.com. You can also learn about upcoming events and current giveaways and see the latest trending articles. Access Faith Radio ministry updates under the About tab at myfaithradio.com.
Welcome back to the show. Awfully glad you're with me today. I have on our studio line Bob Tarnicky. He and his wife Jan run the Options Pregnancy Center in Fairmont, Minnesota, and they do amazing work. And when you are in a crisis and you're considering an abortion, or you know someone that's gone through that struggle, you know that it's a difficult one, so you need to be in loving, competent hands, where we want to choose life. And here to discuss that is Bob. Bob, welcome to the show.
Hi, Bill. Thanks for having me on the show today.
Always a pleasure. Say, Bob, I've been fascinated with stories that have come out of the Options Pregnancy Center. And I want to talk a little bit about what it's like in a smaller town versus, you know, so many of the pregnancy options centers in bigger cities are all I'm really familiar with. So can we start by just getting a little understanding of what it's like to be in a smaller town running the Options Pregnancy Center like you do?
Okay, sure. Part of it is just the lack of options that people have here, which in a way can be a good thing. Being in a small town, we do not have an abortion clinic in the community. So if abortion is in somebody's mind, it's not something they can go and do right now. There's always going to be at least a little time. That's a benefit to us. It can be a little help sometimes that in a small town you almost always know everybody, or at least know about everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a confidentiality issue. Sometimes it's a help because you kind of know the family and the background and you know what kind of support they might have, and that can be a real plus. People in the small town are generally very supportive of our center, which makes my job of fundraising and keeping the center going relatively easy. People here are, in our community at least, are quite pro-life, and they see the work that we're doing every day, and they're just 100% behind us for the most part.
Mm-hmm. Bob, if a woman comes into the center and they're pregnant, all of a sudden they're faced with some obviously a crisis, and because they're trying to figure out what to do, and what are some of the considerations? I mean, maybe the biological father would be maybe insisting on an abortion, or the woman doesn't feel ready to be a parent, or maybe in a small town, I can't tell anyone I'm pregnant.
That can be an issue. I guess our first thing is, you know, trying to find out all of those things and just slow the decision-making process down a little bit for her. We don't want anybody to make a rash decision that they can't undo once it's done. And so we try to calm the situation down, find out what's going on, help them understand that, you know, pregnancy is really rather a short-term thing. It's 9 months. It's not the rest of your life. Try to find out just where the biological father is in the whole picture. Sometimes they're pushing for terminating the pregnancy. Sometimes they're very supportive. Sometimes they just kind of tend to disappear and don't want anything to do with anything. We try to figure out all of those things. But generally, it's just mostly talking and letting the woman, the young woman, just explain her situation and talk through. Surprisingly, they almost talk themselves into wanting to have the baby and parenting. If you give them time and give them a safe place to talk, they already know kind of in their hearts that giving that baby life is the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
We'll kind of just talk themselves into it.
Yeah, it's interesting. And I love stories. And I know there's been some fantastic stories that have come out of the Options Pregnancy Center. And maybe you would be willing to obviously anonymously share some of those.
Sure. Sure. Over the years, there's been a lot of different ones. I struggled to come up with the right stories, but this is my favorite, and it's a little bit older story. It's happened a few years back, and it happened to be in January, and it was Sanctity of Human Life Sunday, and my wife and I were each speaking at different churches that Sunday, and I got to step back a couple weeks. It was Christmas vacation. We actually had closed the center for Christmas vacation a couple of days. But we still checked the voicemail, and there was a lady called and said, "I need to have an abortion. I'm pregnant. My husband wants me to abort." Well, counselor came in and met with them, even on vacation time, and they talked for several hours. Simple story, she had three older children, and the husband didn't want a fourth child at this time. There was quite a gap between the oldest children and this new pregnancy, and he said, "You have this baby, I'm out of here, so no baby." Talked a long time, the counselor talked a long time, and she said, "All right, I think I'm going to go back and talk to my husband and say we can do this." And several days later, she called and said, "Nope, got to have an abortion. So she came back in, talked quite a while with the counselor, and again, she thought, "Yes, I can do this. I'll talk to my husband again." Anyway, this went back and forth two or three times, and with the last time she was there, she was saying, "I just don't know," and she left. Well, then it was go back to this Sanctity of Human Life Sunday, and we had been at a couple of different churches, and I met my wife later for lunch after church, and this woman kind of walks up to my wife and kind of nudges her and says, "I'm keeping the baby," and walked off. Anyway, so now we move it up about 16, 17 years, and went out for dinner for some friends recently, and that baby, who's now a young lady, happened to be our waitress. I just thought that was really cool.
Oh, Bob, that just almost brings tears to my eyes. It's just beautiful.
Yeah, it was just kind of fun. I guess what we see here is, I've recognized this in the years I've been here. God does that kind of thing for us, especially if we find that when we get a little discouraged sometimes around work, one of these kids will show up and, you know, you say, "Hey, I know that kid." Or at least I knew when they were, you know, still a fetus and still being for termination. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just kind of neat. You know, it's kind of just says our work does, you know, what we're doing is making a difference.
Mm-hmm. And then when you are in a situation where you're pouring out all of this love and grace and support, do you find that you can also get a chance to share God in these moments? And
do
they understand that God really loves them and loves this baby that they're carrying?
Absolutely. And we've seen some really amazing transformation in some of the young ladies. You know, it's kind of, that is a main part of what we do. We want to share Christ with them. And we also have to, we know enough to pick our time. Sometimes it's not quite, you know, they're dealing with some other crisis issues. We've got to help them get through that before they can even think straight. But that is a very important part of what we do, is to share Christ. And we have seen just some really fantastic changes in some of these people. And we've actually have people that are major supporters now that, you know, became Christians. Possible. I can't say they get to know Christ because of the center, but I think we were one step in the process, and now they've grown up to be major supporters of the center and just some really fantastic people.
Sounds like there's a lot of love, and those are great stories. I'm talking to Bob Charnicky from the Options Pregnancy Center in Fairmont, Minnesota. We're going to take a little break, and when we come back, we'll continue our conversation in just a minute.
Experiencing not just information, but transformation.
It's been such an encouragement to receive so much practical wisdom and see people who are really living for God with all their heart and soul and mind and strength. And, it's been such an encouragement for me through various struggles and getting free from various sins. And I think probably the biggest benefit of all listening over these years has just been more passion to seek the Lord myself and my life.
Faith Radio.
Welcome back to the show. I'm having a lovely conversation with Bob Charnicky. He is director of the Options Pregnancy Center in Fairmont, Minnesota. And we love stories of life, and we love stories where the choice was made to have the baby because there's, in our opinion, no other choice. Bob, as we talk about some of the stories that have come out, I never tire of hearing because there's so much victory. And I love stories, so I know you've got another good one for me.
Sure. This is one that actually went into print, and I'll explain that a little later. But a young lady came in, high school girl, several years back. She was referred by her pastor, pregnant, and worked with one of our counselors through her pregnancy and had adoption in mind. At one point, she actually did have abortion in mind, but she switched over, you know, in place for adoption. Had the baby. Actually, had picked out it was going to be an open adoption. Had picked out a couple, made an adoption plan. Had the baby. Baby went to this adoptive couple. They found out the baby was deaf and that they did not believe that they would be able to properly raise the child, and returned the baby to the adoption agency, which means it went back to the birth mother. Birth mother then had to care for this baby for the next month or so while they found a different adoptive family. Like I said, they had the parents at this time, or the potential adoptive parents had found out the baby was deaf, which kind of created some issues. It got very complicated in this point. The birth father stepped in and decided the baby shouldn't be placed for adoption. So we had some different things that happened, some legal action and everything else, trying to get all that straightened out. Eventually, a couple, we found out they were actually looking for a baby. They had a couple of children of their own, but they wanted to adopt a little girl. they came forward to adopt this baby, and it was kind of neat. Like I said, the baby was deaf. The mother and father are both deaf. The new adoptive parents are both deaf. In fact, she was at one point Miss Deaf America, I believe. And so it was just this really neat. In fact, we ended up having, for one of our banquets as a banquet speaker, we had this birth mother, the adoptive mother, the baby, who was at that time about 10 or 11 years old, and the author who wrote a book about this whole story, all kind of as part of our banquet one year. It was just fantastic. The birth mother and the adoptive mother seemed to just have a really great way of almost co-parenting almost this child, even though the child lives down in Texas and the birth mother lives here in Minnesota. They stayed in touch, and it was just a very, very neat situation all the way through. But we could see just God working all the way through that. I mean, just the right people showed up at the right time to do the right thing. This deaf child found a deaf parents, but they didn't see it at all as a handicap. They see it as just a different thing.
Oh, yeah. No.
Fantastic people.
And what a fantastic story. And God works out all the details and all the little nuances. And what a great story that was. So, Bob, when you run a center like you do in a small town, do you have to try to do it all? And what all is included? What all can you do? There must be some abortion education. Is there also some testing that can be done at the center?
Yeah, we do abortion education, of course, or, mm-hmm. Abortion parenting,
right?
Pregnancy education, all of that. We do a crib program, so we do a lot of work with safe sleep. We want to avoid sudden infant death syndrome. So we do a crib program, give away about 40 new baby cribs every year. Just this spring now, we started doing STI testing and treatment. Statewide, that has become an issue, and we figured we were in a good position to be able to offer that service. And plus, we had the backing so we could do it for free. So we have free STI testing and treatment here at the center. We do a bit of a jobs program. We operate a thrift store, so we have some work programs for some of our new moms or pregnant gals or new moms that are trying to get back into the workforce. They can be there for short-term employment just to kind of get back into the whole idea of working and juggling how to take care of a baby and themselves during their pregnancy or after pregnancy and a job and all that good stuff. So
mm-hmm.
It's just kind of a neat experience for them to work with it, and plus they can pick up a small paycheck while they're waiting for baby to come.
Nice.
We have other things that we're hoping to do in the future here, so we're kind of been talking a little bit about transitional housing to help some of our gals that are struggling with housing. That's something that's still kind of a little bit in the dream stage, but we're making some progress towards that. So yeah, we do. We don't have a lot of services in the community, so we tend to do a little bit of everything. But that's okay. We've got a good staff that can handle that.
And then, Bob, how do you and your team, your staff, how do you stay centered and encouraged and all that? Because what a difficult business this is. A difficult ministry, business, whatever we want to call it. I mean, it's the business of life. And
Yes, it is. It's a business of ministry. I don't know. Yeah, whichever way that goes.
Yeah, it's all of the above. It's yes and.
Yeah, of course, stay centered because of Christ.
Of course.
That makes it very easy. All of our people here are very good. We all share with each other and talk when needed. And, kind of my job as director is to make sure everybody looks like they're dealing with things okay. And I find that they're all good about, working with each other, sharing with each other, praying for each other. And like I said, with the every so often these kids show up that we know was a result of something we did. God takes care of us. And so far it's been working.
Yeah.
Been here for 18 years, and I haven't gone too crazy yet. So.
Yeah. Well, I don't use the word hero very often, but I'm using it with you and what you do. God has really done some wonderful things in Fairmont, Minnesota. And thank you so much for coming on the show and telling the stories and And I just wanted to be...
Do you have 30 seconds? I got a story that just happened.
Of course.
Sure. We had this, I sent out a newsletter, and on the back of the newsletter I had a whole list of stuff that we needed, you know, diapers and all this thing. A lady walked in with her friend. They bought everything on that list, brought it in. About 2 minutes later, a phone call comes from a young lady who has nothing and baby is 3 weeks away. Everything she needs had just come in the door.
I never, ever, ever tire of these stories, Bob. These are fantastic, and what an encouragement. And I know our listeners are smiling ear to ear right now.
Well, I appreciate the support that we get, and Bill, I appreciate you, and I'm looking forward to having you here for a banquet.
Yeah. FairmontPregnancyOptions.com is the website. Thank you so much, Bob Charnicky, for being my guest, and we'll talk again soon.
Okay. Well, thank you, Bill.
You bet. We'll take a short break and be back with more in just a minute.
Being reminded there's real hope.
You guys do so much. I can have you guys day in and day out and healing. I get so much, and my husband does too. So thank you so much. God bless you guys. Thank you so much to Jesus Christ, to be praised for all honor and glory for you guys. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. We love you guys. Thank you.
Each day, together, growing in our faith on Faith Radio.
It is 27 minutes after the hour. Bill Arnold here. I'm awfully glad that you joined me today. We're going to have a very interesting conversation with Shannon O'Dell. Shannon got a call. Well, he was called to go start a church in Bergman, Arkansas, a little town of 400. And that is the total town population. And he planted a church. And some of the interesting stories that come along with a little city boy planting a church in the middle of nowhere is pretty interesting. You're not going to want to miss that. So that is up next. And then in the second hour, David Wheaton's going to be with us. And David always brings great content. We're going to talk about conscience. And that's a word, break that down, Latin, con with, science, facts. What are your facts? And if your facts are God's word, your conscience will be pretty good. In Acts 24:16, it says, "So I strive always to keep my conscience clear before God and man." That's what Paul said. So that's a great way to live your life. You put your head on the pillow at night and you sleep pretty good because your conscience is clear. All right, we're going to take a little break, and then when we come back, Shannon O'Dell is going to be with us all the way from Bergman, Arkansas. I think we'll probably play a little banjo music because they have bluegrass oftentimes in the worship service. They've got phenomenal bluegrass musicians that play worship music. That's pretty cool. We'll be right back.
Prayer is vital, and I think it's certainly something that we're called to do for our children and with our children.
Prayer. For parents, it should be a top priority. Hi, I'm Steve Douglas for Making Your Life Count. David Thomas explains more.
I love to challenge parents to think about living a life of prayer so that it's not just about I pray over you before you go to bed at night, which is a great and wonderful thing to do, but to pray over your children as you're driving to school, and to let prayer become a conversation that kids see. I think when kids think of, when we talk with kids about having a relationship with Christ, I love the idea of conversing with Him like we have a relationship, that I don't just do that two times a day, but we're in this active conversation.
Remember, you need to set a positive example for your kids regarding prayer. I'm Steve Douglas.
To the show, Shannon O'Dell has been a guest on the show before, and I have to say it, he is one of my very favorite guests. He wrote a book called Transforming Church in Rural America, and also At the Table. He is a husband, father of four. And I think he grew up in the Seattle area. I have to double check my facts, but God called him to move to rural Arkansas. And he started a church, and now we're going to catch up with him. He's on our studio line. Hello, Shannon.
Bill, how are you today?
I'm well. Let me ask you, how's your summer going?
It is a milestone summer, truly a milestone summer. And I mean, just milestones in my marriage. Matter of fact, in 2 days, I'll be celebrating my 25th wedding anniversary. Milestones with my kids' lives. My first child, my 21-year-old son, engaged. And then milestones in our church, historic numbers, and just God's just doing supernatural.
Wow.
So thank you for asking.
Yeah. Now, your church is in Bergman, Arkansas. Do I have that right?
That's right. Bergman, Arkansas,
yeah.
Population 407.
That's crazy. Now, when you have Sunday service, how many people participate at one of your five campuses?
We had a little over 1,400.
That is just
this past weekend.
That is a real celebration. I mean, to God be the glory. I want to be reminded of your story, Shannon, because I think you were a city boy, and you thought you were going to do pastoral work in the city, and God called you to Bergman, Arkansas.
Yeah, you mentioned Seattle, which was our heart to start a church there, but we were actually in Oklahoma City. We were in a metro church. I was serving with a man I respect and love, former Southern Baptist president, loved the work, loved the ministry, and I knew God was going to call me to Seattle. He was going to call us either potentially even more Oklahoma before, you know, Craig Rochelle, just God just did a miraculous work there. We were going to go to North Atlanta, but God just gave Cindy and I a specific call while I was actually at my in-laws and just said, Shannon, what if I want to use you to blaze a trail, to pioneer work in rural America? And after a very unique list of fleeces, Cindy and I submitted to the call, and now we're almost 11 years in, and it's been a supernatural work of God. We're having a blast.
Now, Shannon, you moved to a town. The community itself is only 400 people. So do you start feeling a little panicky right from the beginning, or do you land and say, God has got something in store for me, and that's why I'm here?
You know, there was definitely panic.
Okay.
When we first landed, we wept. Matter of fact, we told God there was 31 people that Sunday I went in view of a call, which is a Baptist term for seeking for a pastor.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a 61-year-old Southern Baptist church, and actually where we started with South Lead Hill, Arkansas, population 88. So when I went to that church, it was Southside Baptist Church. We were like, you know, God, surely there's no way. And they had not had a unanimous vote in their church's history on anything. So we knew there was a great chance that we asked for a unanimous vote, then that's our fleece out. Well, you obviously know with the 31 people there what the vote was, and it was 31 yeses, and we wept all the way back to Oklahoma City. And then God just said, just, you know, receive the call, submit to what I've called you to, and as we've done that, you know, I'm on the radio with you today. I've been in conferences all over the country, all over the world, just humbled by what God has chosen to do, and it's still 11 years in. It's difficult. It's rural. It's small town, and the panic sometimes still sets in. But I thank God that we moved from a town of 88 to a town of 407 because they do have a Dollar General there.
That's sweet. I bet when you started 9 years ago, there was no place to get a fine latte, was there?
No, there wasn't. There wasn't at all. And then seeing our campuses grow and we're really putting a lot of our work in one of our faster-growing campuses in Farmington, Arkansas. It's a town of 5,500. So we feel like we're in the metropolis in Farmington. So it really is a great work, but it's a unique call. And really, Bill, what we're learning, and not learned, but what we're learning is that high-capacity leaders oftentimes are looking, just as I was, but sometimes – by God's grace, and it's only God's grace, that God has a high capacity calling. And it's in the obscurity that only God can get the glory from. If I'm in a metro city of 9 million, I better have a church of 9,000.
Oh, right.
I mean, I mean, I better have a church of, you know, so many in a town of 100,000 or whatever it is. But when you're in smaller communities and God does it and shows up and there's a revival, if you will, of life change, you know God did it.
Yeah. Shannon, what have been some of the ministries that have emerged from your church that almost surprised you a little bit? I mean, how was your youth ministry? What other ministries have sort of propped up that took you by surprise?
I would say three off the top of my head. The first is when we first came, when we were Southside, before we made the, we call a plansition, before we planted and transitioned to 61-year-old church, we didn't mean to. We didn't know it was cool. It just, God just did it. But we had one child in the preschool, children's area, and it was my son. I mean, he was two years old.
And,
Cliff had one child. And we had, it was amazing. And now to see our, we call now our brand new kids ministry, just flourishing it's humbling. We had no student ministry. And now to see hundreds of students on a midweek and hundreds going to summer camp, they just got back 2 weeks ago where they just saw so many kids come to know Jesus. And the other that has been so surprising, but we just believe the heartbeat of God is meeting the needs of the poor and the widow. And obviously in rural areas, there's great need. And my son came home from school, my youngest boy, and in a nutshell, basically said, "Hey, Dad, I've got a friend, and can I give him my new Zigtex?" And this was probably 6 or 7 years ago. And I was like, "Well, let me pray about it, buddy." "No, we just bought those for you for school. You're not giving your shoes to this kid." He's like, "He thinks they're cool," and this, that, and the other. Well, the Spirit of God spoke to me, and it was just like, wait a minute, maybe what he really – and so I said, "Why does that guy like – do you like your shoes?" He goes, "Well, actually, Daddy – he's got bubble toes, which are, you know, the Converse All-Star bubble toe shoe, and he cut the ends off of them because he said it's cool." And then I knew exactly what has happened. Arkansas made a law that you had to have a certain type of sole PE shoe, and his family couldn't afford the shoes. So I just went to the counselor, didn't ask any names, didn't in any way try to divulge information or confidentiality. I said, "Is there a child or two at your school that could use new PE shoes?" And I brought it before the church, and when we met the needs of those kids for PE shoes, there's literally, I don't remember, I think it was 116 shoes. I do remember, I apologize. 116 pairs of shoes. We blessed the school with them, and we birthed what we now call our Mercy Malls, which is literally, we call them a mall because we want to, you know, we don't want it to be stacked stuff and junk. We want it to be the best of the best, where a needy family comes in and feels like their love, not just like, "Hey, this is all secondhand stuff." Mm-hmm. So we created this ministry, and now we have two in Midlothian, Virginia. Don't ask me how. We have one in Quitman, Texas. We've got one in Mountain Home, Arkansas. We have seven Mercy Mall locations, and it's amazing the ministry God started through that.
Shannon, I could reach for a Kleenex right now and try to wipe the smile off my face, but I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to let it be.
I love it.
I just find it's so exciting, and when you start to just meet needs, I think of Jesus, and all he did was start by meeting needs. I mean, I look at the bookends of his miracles. He started by the wedding feast at Cana, and it basically solved a catering problem. And then right before he went to the cross, he picked up the ear of Malchus and stuck it back on his head. You know, he was never not meeting a need. And I think when you start to love and serve the community the way you're doing, you will revitalize that area and then everything around it.
We've found what we believe is it's the heartbeat of God. I mean, Isaiah 54 is very clear that God wants to meet the needs of the poor, the widow, the oppressed. And even our Farmington campus that just moved into, I know this is hard to believe, just moved into a 25,000 square foot church in a small town. I mean, it's unbelievable the miracle God did. Well, the first thing we've established in there in one of the large storage areas is our first Mercy Mall, and already have protein being delivered from Tyson's and Simmons Chicken and Wright Bacon, and they cannot wait. And then late August, we're going to have our first ever feed for that community where we're just bringing in food and going to minister to the needs of people. We have backpacks being stored in there, tennis shoes. We already have over 400 pairs of tennis shoes for schools. And they just opened this campus July. I don't know the exact date. I apologize. And it's amazing. But when that happens, when you start to love on your community as a church, the community starts to love you.
And that's so
true. And that's our heart, and that's God's heart.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Shannon, I need to take a break in about a minute. When you travel and speak like you said you've been doing, and you get out of Bergman, Arkansas, and into bigger cities and churches, and what do you experience when you're there, and how much do you miss home?
I love the opportunity to get out. I love the opportunity to see a Starbucks. I love the opportunity to go to an H&M store.
Sure.
I love the opportunity to do that. But what I see oftentimes, believe it or not, Bill, is I see churches that have the potential to they're launching pads for supernatural revival, but they are at a place that is small-minded. They have they're not in a small town, but they got a rural mindset. They're not believing in faith. Maybe they've been there 100 years and they could do so much more. That's what I'm seeing in the churches.
Mm-hmm. My guest is Shannon O'Dell. He is a pastor of Brand New Church, been there for over 9 years in Bergman, Arkansas. It's a small community of just over 400 people. God called him to revitalize a little rural church in Arkansas. We'll take a little break when we come back. More with Shannon O'Dell in just a minute.
With the Faith in Life Minute. Many married couples feel they can't escape the grind of daily life. Pastor and author Ted Cunningham offers this encouragement.
If you talk about vacations, people are like, well, I don't have any money, so I can't escape the grind. Well, it doesn't matter how much money you make. You can't buy your way out of the grind. Go get education, get degrees, get another job. We always go in these directions, think, if I just get this, or I just move here, or I just let this happen, then I'll be at a better place in the grind. And rather, it's a decision we make every day. My wife and I, in ministry, we face challenges every day. We deal with difficult people every day, like every listener does. We drive. We have car troubles. I mean, we all have those elements of the grind. It's that we just decided, hey, in the midst of all of this, our marriage, we are going to enjoy as we face these challenges and difficulties together.
Hear more from Ted Cunningham at MyFaithRadio.com.
Welcome back to the show. Awfully glad you're with me today. Shannon O'Dell is my guest. If you've been listening, you know a little bit about him. He's a senior pastor at Brand New Church in Bergman, Arkansas, which he landed with just a community of 400 people. And now his church has grown from 31 members to about 2,000 with 5 campuses and network churches and online campus under his leadership. He's the author of Transforming Church in Rural America and At the Table. Shannon, let me ask you, when you start, you take your city boy ideas and go to the country. I've always believed that if everything you do works, you're not being creative enough. I mean, you must have had some things that worked and some things that didn't. Can you share a little bit of both?
Easily.
came
in. probably a stronger list of failures, but that's what allows us to see great success. But some of the things that I thought, oh, man, these are going to work great. So we're going to try, you know, like to go out and do this huge outreach that is going to be similar to what we've seen at other places. And it didn't land. But what I have learned does land is excellence. It does not matter what it is. I don't care which we love, and I know this doesn't sound very cutting edge, but we love just getting a good old bluegrass band and throwing down on a Sunday. Now, we've got the lights and we've got the guitars and all the things you would see at what you might consider, you know, a 21st century church. But then those same kids get up there with a banjo and a jute harp but the thing is that throws everybody off is it's done with excellence.
Mm-hmm.
And it works.
Yeah.
If it's just taking a piece of a flagship social media, instead of doing it with an average camera, just spend a couple $100 more and man, it's done great. An app. It works in rural. Everyone has an iPhone, no matter the size of the town.
Mm-hmm.
So they're looking for that level of excellence. And so what we have learned is if it's done because we think it works somewhere else versus just doing what God calls us to do with excellence, it transcends all. The most important thing we ever did, though, is restructure our Constitution and bylaws to be biblically based. And once we did that, it allowed us to have roots to grow, and everything else can go from there.
Now, Shannon, I want to let you know I want to grab my banjo and book a Greyhound ticket and start heading towards Bergman, Arkansas, just to be part of that.
We're waiting on you.
That sounds like so much fun, just so you know. Now, I want to back up to changing what did you say, the statement of faith or the Constitution? What did you say you changed?
Constitution and bylaws, yes.
Okay,
sir.
Now, if you came from a Baptist church, what was not working from the Baptist church that you changed to the brand new church?
Typically what would take place in a Baptist church, and we're still loosely affiliated as Baptist. My heritage is Baptist. My seminary education is Baptist, Southern Baptist to be specific. I mean, but I had never been a part of a church that really operated according to Robert's rules. Now, I had been a part of a couple of Rotary clubs in high school and stuff, but what happened is I realized that most churches think Robert rule is in the church, like in the Bible, and we were so limited. So, for instance, we grew to 90 people. We were so jacked up every Sunday, but we didn't have enough coffee to minister to the people showing up, so I was like, let's go buy a coffee pot.
Makes sense.
I think our offering average was like $881 a week. And I was just like, man, we've gone up from 400 a week to 800. I think we can afford it. Let's find one. So I had a lady find a coffee pot. We brought it to the church. Well, they're like, oh, you got to bring that to before the church. And then we got to table it for 30 days because it's not brought by a committee. And I was like, oh, what? It took 60 days.
To get a new coffee maker?
To get a new coffee maker. And what was crazy is when they tabled it, then they brought it before the church, then they had to do discussion. A lady raised her hand and said, I'm very uncomfortable with this coffee pot because it has the word bun on it. And I was like, does she mean because it may be inappropriate? It blew me away. And I was like, God, we've got to do something or we're going to be paralytically trapped.
Oh my.
And not be able to move forward. So we made some transitions so that we could operate. Instead of being a monster liner, we became a tugboat so we could turn on a dime and do ministry and reach people effectively.
Oh, that's so funny. I can see why you miss Starbucks now and then. So now talk about something that really has worked spectacularly at Brand New Church.
The most effective by far ministry of our church is getting our volunteers on point.
Okay.
To allow the church to lead the church.
Hmm.
When Great Sundays is definitely a part of our non-negotiables. The weekends, what we call it, it's non-negotiable, number one. Number two is volunteers. Well, that really goes hand in hand. So those volunteers, I just did not understand the power of it. Typical Baptist church I grew up in had six people that ran it. So the Sunday school superintendent, the pastor, the music guy, the youth guy, and the children's divisional leader, and the lady who counts the money. And that limited the growth of the church. And I'm like, we've got to – well, once I got parking lot people pouring coffee, people opening doors, people running lights, people doing, technology, people shooting camera shots, people running it. And all of a sudden we build these volunteer bases. The church exponentially grew. And as we develop our volunteers, as we equip the saints for ministry, truly for ministry – once that transpired, that's when the church exponentially grew. And I would say to anybody listening, any church, it's the health of the church. People say it's united in small groups and all that, and I agree as well. But I would say that your volunteer team is the telltale sign of the health of your church. It sure is for Brand New Church.
You know, Shannon, I would bet just if you have cool tech equipment, you're going to attract younger kids that are going to want to just be around it and get to learn it and get to use it. And I bet you had people fighting for those volunteer jobs.
Until you provide it, they don't know it. And
right.
Once we simply just got a small 15-second bumper, a student, a junior in high school, getting ready to be a senior this year in high school, he had never been to church. His family was burnt on church. They had not been in church in 6.5 years. They've got a beautiful story. And he, on Instagram, had a friend say, hey, follow our Young and Brave page, which is our student ministry page. He saw that video. He came to church, and he's like, how can I make videos like this for your church? Hadn't been in church in 6.5 years.
Oh, wow.
And that technology is what drew him. And you know, whatever we want to say about Xbox, whatever we want to say about PlayStation, it is definitely a world that we're tapping into. And not only that, churches are like, we can't afford that technology. If anybody contacts just simply my assistant, Cindy, C-I-N-D-Y, at brandnewchurch.com, mm-hmm. she will set you up with our tech directors, because for I'm talking pennies a weekend. You can have lights. You can have unbelievable tech. You can have great video editing, and we can help them with it.
Wow, Shannon. See, are there any other churches in the area? Have you connected with them? Or, you know, it sounds like Brand New Church is a little bit like the new church in town that's just taking up a lot of the oxygen for church.
It's been so fun. I will say this, Bill. I would love to tell you that for 10 years we've connected and networked well. I can't say that, but I can say for the last 3 years we have.
Awesome.
And we just did a beautiful National Day of Prayer at our Farmington community. We just had a ministerial, you would use the word alliance, we don't call our team that, but I just had 9 pastors. We came together and we took the senior centers. They do a car show every 4th of July weekend. We had it in our parking lot. We provided everything for
fantastic.
Them, popcorn and all the concessions. And these ladies, I mean, they thought we hung the moon. And it was just our ministers coming together, blessing them, loving on them. And another church just down the street, we did a big 4th of July event before that, had hot dogs, and the city shoots off fireworks that happened to go off right in our parking lot. So we all networked together and blessed the community with free food. And so by God's grace, Bill, we are networking more effectively, and it is great to see the body of Christ be empowered.
Mm-hmm. Shannon, you're a passionate guy and a strong forward thinker. What are your hopes for the future in the ministry? I mean, this is really exciting. I feel like you're describing a Norman Rockwell painting I want to be a part of.
You know, our heart and passion is to somehow let high-capacity ministers get a heart like Amos, even if it's just herding goats on the side, to reach a rural community to turn it upside down for Jesus. We now have, being here 10 years, the difference between a sprint and a marathon in ministry, if you change your perspective as a pastor, which God has, by his grace, allowed me to do, I see 10 years from now, 75 to 100 campuses and small communities of brand new churches with leaders that have been saved, baptized, at the very minimum at Brand New Church, if not in the earshot of Brand New Church, and say, you know what, we want to help. We're called to ministry. I just had a student this past Sunday that simply walked right up to me. His name's Sebastian Diffie. He's a strong, awesome guy. He goes, I'm called to serve Brand New Church. Tell me how to get plugged into ministry.
Wow.
He's graduating this year. It's so exciting to see. I got a call today. Shea Fountain, dear guy, love him with all my heart. Calico Rock, Arkansas. He's like, how do we start a brand new church in Calico Rock, Arkansas? I said, let me tell you. And I believe it's going to be a marathon. It's going to be a marathon. But at 45 years old, I got some life left.
Yeah, absolutely.
25 years, I'd love to see 75 healthy, thriving, community-impacting rural churches in rural America.
I am so happy, Shannon, to write this down in my prayer journal and just keep Brand New Church on my prayer list, because this is so exciting, and I want a selfie with you, just so you know.
I can't wait.
I can't wait.
Bring a banjo. We'll take a picture with it.
I will. You know, it's I can't wait. Shannon O'Dell has been my guest. His book, Transforming Church in Rural America. We'll take a short break and be right back.
Hi, I'm Ted Ross with the Faith in Life Minute. Dr. Carolyn Leaf is an expert in brain science, and she says we can have a healthier life just by changing the way we think.
Thoughts are so important because God tells us to bring them into captivity to Christ Jesus. You know, he tells us to renew our minds. He tells us to, you know, think on good things and not think on bad things, and practice the presence of God and meditate on his word. So he's telling us, choose right, and we've got free will. You know, Deuteronomy 30:19, I lay before you life and death, blessing and cursing, choose. So he's equipping us with the ability to think and choose, and therefore build thoughts, and therefore we need to make sure that we're doing this in the correct way. And if we don't, we need to have the recognition that God has designed us in such a way that we can actually change our thinking. So we have control. We control our brain. Our brain does not control us.
Hear more from Dr. Carolyn Leaf on having a healthy mind at myfaithradio.com.
Thanks for listening. Programming like this is made available through your support. Information available at myfaithradio.com.